Just got a text from Frank Roth. He said he'll be in at 3 o'clock this morning. So anybody wants to go and greet him at the airport, you're welcome to do so. But he also sent me a little cartoon that I wanted to share with you. Try and describe the picture of the cartoon. Obviously, there's some kind of a hurricane or some kind of a catastrophe, and all these Christian men with their chainsaws and their axes are trying to do the repairs and what they can to get things back into order. And then it has this caption at the bottom. When people ask where our congregation was trained to endure disasters, we always point to your 40-year week sermon series on the first chapter of Leviticus. Well, we're not going to be doing a chapter out of Leviticus tonight, but we are going to be in the book of Galatians and look at the first two verses. Brethren, if a man be overturned in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then we're going to focus on 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray, Father, that the law of Christ would be strong in each of our hearts. You would bless us with a heart of love for the brethren, heart of love for you, a love that would work its way out sacrificially, Lord, in coming alongside of one another and do the heavy lifting, Lord, in each other's lives that makes our way light. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In London, England, there is an entrance way to a little narrow alley that has a sign written over the top of it. It's been there for hundreds of years, and it says simply this: no burdens allowed to pass through. And yet you look at that little entryway, and people every day pass through it. They don't seem to be carrying heavy burdens. They don't have a heavy burden on their back. But they do go into that alleyway under the sign. But I would say many of them, if not most of them, are carrying a hidden burden that most people can't see through that entranceway. Because you see, some of the most difficult and heaviest burdens in life, we carry around on the inside and they can't be seen. So it is in the church. When we walk through the doors back there, we each come in with our smiles and we don't really carry heavy burdens in our hands or on our back. But I would venture to say many of us carry into the sanctuary every Lord's Day heavy burdens that are in our heart, perhaps burdens we haven't even shared with one another. If only we could see inside of each other's heart. If we could only see the weight and the struggle that many of us are going through, I think we'd have an entirely different attitude towards bearing one another's burdens. Many of us are burdened down with the weight of life's adversities, life's struggles. And so tonight we're going to continue in our study of the various one another's in Scripture, how we're to live our life out in the Church of Jesus Christ. And today we come to the 6th chapter of Galatians, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. Now, rather than breaking this down into an outline, I think the verse is short enough. We can just break it down by the words that are used, explain the words, and pull out some practical application from the verse. If we break it down, the first word there is bear. Stazo, to break, to take up with your hands and to carry something with both hands. It's a word that's used frequently in the New Testament, 25 times, in fact. And it's used, for example, in Mark 14 to talk about carrying water pots. It's used in Luke 7 to carry a coffin. It's used in John 10 to talk about carrying stones that are very heavy. Even in John 12, it's used to refer to the carrying of money that was stolen. John 20, it refers to a corpse that's being carried around. Acts 15, it refers to a yoke that is put on someone's shoulder. And so you see, for example, in a verse like in Acts chapter 3, verse 2, when a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, there's our word, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which he called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So there's a graphic picture of this word to bear, is to carry. Here's a man being lifted up every day and carried to be put in a place where he could beg for his livelihood. And then he says, bear one another's burdens. The one another, I think we can imply that he's talking about the church, relationships of brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're to bear one another's, we're to carry one another's burdens. And the word burden here, it means something that's very heavy. It's a weight. It could be a trouble. It could be something that you actually physically carry around, a burden. It's oppressive. It's difficult. It's hard to carry around by yourself. Look down in verse 5. It's kind of an interesting contrast of verses there, where Paul goes on to write, for every man shall bear his own burden. And here you have in verse 2, we're to bear one another's burdens. And then in verse 5, it almost sounds like he's contradicting himself. He says, for every man shall bear his own burdens. But here the word bear is, or actually the word burden here is a different word. And it's really a word that simply means, it's a diminutive word, which simply means little burden. In fact, it'd be something like, if you have a kitchen, the diminutive would be what? A kitchenette. And so here you might have the burden, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 2, and here we have a burdenette. So the burdenettes of life, though those burdens that aren't quite as heavy as the big burdens, there's burdens that we can carry around ourselves, and that's the nature of the Christian life. But the heavy ones, the ones that weight us down, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to do the heavy lifting for one another. Those weights that weigh us down, too heavy to carry by ourselves. You know, the little burdens, then we can carry them ourselves, but not the big, heavy ones. And that raises the question, what kind of burdens do you think Paul had in mind when he wrote verse 2? And again, he doesn't say, I think we have to link it back to verse 1. That's why I read that for us. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so there you see the context is one of a brother or sister in Christ who's fallen into sin. And our relational duty to one another is to go and what? To go to a person overtaken in a fault and to restore that one, to bring them to repentance and do all that we can to restore them back to full spiritual value with God and with one another. And we have to do so with a spirit of meekness, he says, and watching out so you don't get tempted, he says, considering yourself in the process. So sin brings with it heavy burdens of sin. I mean, Doug sees this every week. People come in with problems, and they're coming in. Usually the problems have it at the core, the root of them, sin issues. And what Doug is doing is rooting out all the consequences, all the burdens that go with those sins in their life, and trying to help them lift up some of those burdens in their life and help them in the process. Showing compassion, making their burden light, helping them through addiction problems, temptation problems, and some of the consequences that come from sin. Those who have sought forgiveness, it's helping to restore them and taking all the steps necessary to restore them to full usefulness in the body of Christ. Because fallen Christians need help. This, I guess, a good illustration of this would be the U-turn ministry here at Trinity. There you have those who are coming in on Wednesday nights, and they're under a heavy burden of addiction. Whether it's alcohol addiction, drug addiction, other forms of addiction. And they come in, and a lot of them are seeking forgiveness. They're seeking to be made right with God and to be relieved of the burden of their addiction. But they're also coming in with, many of them, with their lives absolutely destroyed. Decades of addiction have caused families to break up. They've lost wives. They've lost husbands. They've lost jobs. Their finances are a wreck. Their families have fallen apart. Their whole personal life has fallen apart. And so they have the burden of life on top of them as they're seeking freedom from the addiction. And then you see the church, the body of Christ, coming in and kind of shouldering some of that weight for them, to help them. This could mean showing sympathy to a person in a time of need. Could mean giving them a place to stay if they need a place to stay to make their way light. Even providing a meal if necessary. Helping to restore relationships and getting involved in the process of helping people who are broken in their relationships to come together. You know, in our life, we've had, I don't know, several people just move in with us for a period of time. In California, there was a guy who moved in for about 4 or 5 months with us who was in addiction. We had families here in our own church that have moved in with us for several months and tried to work through and make their way a little bit lighter. We've had people park trailers out at our place and try to provide a place for them to stay. And then church and others working with these people to try and help them restore relationships and jobs and finances and all the burdens that go with addictions and sin. But I believe that verse 2 isn't just limited to sinning brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe we can extend this to all heavy burdens that life brings our way. And I just started, you know, the list could go on and on and on, but just to name a few. For example, financial reversal. There's a calamity that it hits one of the members of our church financially. The loss of a job, the downturn in the economy, all kinds of things that happen. And then the church is there, the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are there to help pick up that burden so it's not weighing in on that person. Mary and I know of a family where the husband was a CPA, was making a good salary, and then right in the middle of a downturn in the economy, he lost his job, and he had 3 or 4 kids, I believe. And in the process, he looked every single day. He sent out resumes. He labored in trying to find a job, and not just a CPA job, but any job where he could support his family. And the church came in and actually supported his family for a whole year. And in the process, you know, was faithfully encouraging him in the application process. That's one of the purposes of our family fund here at Trinity Bible Church, is to do this very thing, is to bear one another's burdens. That's why when we give, for example, at Thanksgiving or the various offerings that we have where you can help give to the family fund, the deacons are taking those funds and using them to help meet financial needs in our congregation, whether it be rent or whether they be utility bills or health bills, doctor bills, all those things that weigh in heavy on a person, and to make their way a little bit lighter. Another area where there are heavy burdens oftentimes in the body of Christ is during times of bereavement. When a husband dies or a wife dies, sometimes suddenly, then the church is there. Brothers and sisters are there to come alongside and to make the way a little bit lighter. There might be temporal needs that need to be met during those quick, all of a sudden when someone loses a loved one. Could be just the need for encouraging words. Coming alongside and praying with someone, sharing scripture together, showing sympathy for those who have lost a loved one. Perhaps some of the forgotten ones in the church might be the single moms, the ones who are trying to raise a family by themselves, and they're working full time and they have children, and they feel the pressure, and they're believers in Christ, and they feel the pressures of life upon them, pushing down upon them. The car breaks, something in the house breaks or falls apart. And it's good to have a church where we would come alongside single moms and to make their way a little lighter during time of need. See, whenever you show sympathy with someone, that means that you are sharing in their suffering. And whatever form that might take, you're entering into their griefs, you're bearing their griefs, which means you are going through their griefs vicariously on their behalf. I was thinking another area is rebellious children. There are times when I know that we felt in our own family the weight of children who go off the rails and the impact that has on moms and as well as dads. And what a blessing it is to be in a church that comes alongside and lifts up the weight of those burdens of a mom or a dad who feel like they're failures because their kids are not falling in line with trusting in Christ. Whether they're praying for one another, meeting with one another, sharing and encouraging one another. By the way, if you take all the one another's we're going through on Sunday night, if you apply them all, they all have the effect of what? Bearing one another's burdens. Life has calamities as well. Calamities have the way of bringing, I don't know if that's a spiritual term or whether that's, I don't want to say negative luck here because calamity, I don't want to say act of God, although everything's an act of God. But you know what I'm talking about, the big storms of life, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, things that just come in, mudslides that come in and wash away homes, those things we read about in the paper. Suddenly those things happen to someone we know that's our brothers and sisters in Christ. Or it might be another church that we're aware of the needs in another part of the country. And to come alongside and to help during those times. I know that it was during those times, during Katrina, where some of our men went down to New Orleans and helped a church down there and took an organ down there and was able to make their burden just a little bit lighter. Moving opportunities always give rise to helping a person's burden to be lighter. I know when Mary and I just recently moved, as you get older, you wonder, how in the world are we going to do this? This is like too overwhelming for us. What a blessing it is to have a church that shows up with trailers and trucks and guys that are strong and picking things up and putting me in the truck and moving us, and all of a sudden it's done. What a blessing that is. It's a way of bearing one another's burdens. Sickness, times of sickness, times of infirmity. Visiting someone in the hospital, visiting someone who's sick at home. Providing transportation if someone needs a ride to the doctor, bearing one another's burdens. You know, the Apostle Paul experienced this in his own life. He shares an experience in 2 Corinthians 7:5, where he says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, for we were troubled on every side." You feel the weight that's being pressed upon Paul. "Without there were fightings, and within us there were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us." How did God do that? By the coming of Titus. So here's a brother in the Lord that comes alongside of Paul at a time when the weight of the world is pressing on him, and God comforts him through, doesn't say how, but from another brother in the Lord. See, whenever you pick up another brother or sister's burdens, now all of a sudden, you know, the picture here isn't one of let's get underneath it and help them carry their burdens. Really, the picture is one of actually taking their burdens and carrying it for them. Although it probably involves both. But grammatically, the picture is one of taking and carrying their burdens. And once you do that, that person's burden now becomes your burden. And now you're in the same position they were, except you're carrying it. You're stronger on their behalf. Notice that the next part of that verse, Paul says, "And so fulfill the law of Christ." I find it interesting that in a book like Galatians, where he's telling his readers that they are not to live under the law anymore. now turns around and tells them there is a law that you're under. And the law that you're under, he says, is the law of Christ. And he says, you fulfill that law of Christ when you bear one another's burdens. See, what is that law of Christ? Well, I think probably if you're with us, you're probably guessing maybe ahead of time what it might be. If you remember, Christ came to give a new commandment. In Mark 12:28, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the second greatest commandment? The greatest is to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and even your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's repeated again in John 13:34. And a new commandment, Jesus says, that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And so you carry out the law of love in the brethren, with the brethren, by carrying each other's burdens. How do you know if you love the brethren? Are you willing to carry their burdens? And again, Christ is our perfect example here. We see, for example, a couple passages. How about God himself in Psalm 68:19? Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, the NASB puts it more precisely for us. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation. There's our example. That's what God does. He bears our burden. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and lean and learn of me, for I am meek, Jesus said, and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did our Lord do? He came and bore the burden of our sin on the cross. That was his role of love here on earth. The Gettys in their communion hymn write, behold the Lamb who bears our sins away. He bears them. Slain for us, and we remember, the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The one who bears the burden of our sin. Another good example, I think, would be taking us outside of Scripture, would be the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Remember Christian when he's on his way and he's heading for the Celestial City, but he still has that big, heavy what on his back? That burden of sin. And he's dragging it along, and he cries out for it to be removed. It says He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulchre. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed off his shoulders and fell down off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do so until it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. God took the burden of his sin and removed it from him. The law of Christ is a selfless law. We put others before ourselves. It always comes with a price. So if you're going to be able to bear one another's burdens, you're going to have to pay a price to do so. It's never going to be totally easy or convenient. It's going to take time, your time, perhaps your schedule. It's going to take finances. It might take money out of your pocket. It might take convenience and comfort from you, because those are the things that we really cherish and embrace. But you see, others are coming first before us. And that's what love is. And so I ask you, do you love Christ? You say, yes, I love Christ. Do you love the brethren? Yes, I love the brethren. Are you bearing one another's burdens? I would encourage you to open your spiritual eyes and look for the needs within the church here at Trinity. Look for those who are hunched over, metaphorically speaking, by sin or by the weight of life, and be willing to come alongside and to carry their burden for them. And if you're one of those people with a heavy burden that needs someone to come alongside of you to help carry that burden, that means you need to be humble enough to let someone else do that for you. and to allow them to do that. So many of us are so self-sufficient, we don't want other people to help us. Yet we're defeating the very purpose of the gospel itself, and denying a person the opportunity to minister to us. You know, I want to remind us we're members of one body, and the picture here is life within the body of Christ. So the picture is one member in the body unable to hold the weight up of whatever the burden is, and another member of the body coming in and doing the work for that other part of the body. You know, having been through 4 knee surgeries now, there were times when I couldn't, as you know, I couldn't walk on one leg and at all put any weight on it. So then how do you get around? Well, now all of a sudden you got a walker in your hands, and your hands are doing the work of your feet as you go from point A to point B. That's how we bear one another's burdens in the body of Christ. I read this really interesting story by a missionary whose name was Dr. Halbeck. He's from the Church of England in South Africa, and he gives this description that he saw out in the field one day. From the top of a neighboring hill, he saw laborers at work, and these laborers were lepers. He noticed 2 particularly sowing peas in the field. One had no hands, the other had no feet, these members being wasted away by disease. The one who wanted the hands was carrying the other who wanted the feet, and upon his back, and he again carried the bag of seed and dropped the pea every row, and then with the other pressed it into the ground with his feet. And so this managed the work of one man between the labors of 2. That's bearing one another's burdens. And such should be the union of ourselves to each other in the body of Christ. Now, by way of application, I try to make these practical on Sunday night. I went through the last prayer list we had that we sent out to the e-groups, and I highlighted the prayer requests that I felt at least might give some inclination that there might be a need for someone to help bear a burden, more than just pray. That's part of it, but actually come alongside and bear a burden. And I want to share them with you, and then if you have any you'd like to add to this list, a heavy burden in your life that we could help shoulder, feel free to share that as well. You know, Sharon Ann left today for Bozeman to have eye surgery this Tuesday, June 12th, for the repair of a detached retina for the second time. Perhaps even depending on the success of the surgery, whether she loses her sight in that eye or not. And of course, we pray with her and hope that God be pleased to heal that eye. So here you have a husband and a wife who are out of town, and a wife who's going in for surgery, and when she gets back, won't be able to move, basically. Her head has to stay pretty well fixed for how long? 6 weeks, a limited activity. That sounds to me like an opportunity more than just praying in an e-group. Say, how can we shoulder this a little bit? And how can we bear the burden of the Lamb family? Any ideas? Any ideas? Okay, so where's Libby? Libby could send out a meal sheet. Oh, she did. Okay, you're right on top of it. That's starting the process, isn't it? Meals being delivered for X number of weeks and helping the family that way. That's a blessing. That makes it a little bit lighter. Think of any others? Huh? Laundry? Okay, good. Does she have a garden? Flower bed? Okay, come alongside. Yeah, weed the flower bed. A visit? I'm sorry. So just having someone come alongside, encourage her at home, a good happy visit is a good thing to do. And I'm sure you can add to that list, but there's many ways, if we're thinking ahead of time, being proactive, how we can shoulder someone else's burden this way. I think we could be a blessing to them. Most of you, I think, have met Dave Frankenberg. Now, some of you might not have, but he's a guy who's only visited our church a few times before all of a sudden now he finds himself in a care center up in Billings where he has to be there for how many? 90 days? Or? Yeah. But anyway, he has an infection in his knee. He's waiting for a knee replacement. He's going to the doctor on the 19th to see whether or not the infection's gone. And if not, there's other consequences that are very serious. But he's sitting by himself in a rest home, a recovery center, short of a hospital up in Billings. And he has a wife who's trying to care for him by herself. And can you think of any ways that we as a church could shoulder or uplift him and bear some of his burden? Well, I'll help you. There's, you know, next time you make a Costco run, stop in and see Dave Frankenberg. Next time you're up in Billings for some other reason, stop in and see Dave Frankenberg. It's very easy access to where he's staying. Is it 24th or 27th? I always, one of the malls on. Which one's the mall on? 24th. It's up north on the end of 24th Street. And he's there. He's alone. You'd be encouraged. You could pray with him. You could just visit with him. It would be a blessing to him. And then also seeing whether Tony, his wife, has any needs, that things need to be shuttled back and forth between Billings and also Cody. The Hollingshead's parents recently moved to Cody. It was a Friday or Thursday of this last week. And there was a need to help them move in. I know some of you were able to make that and be there to help them. It was a night move rather than a day move. But, you know, moving is a great time to shoulder and to make a person's burden a little bit lighter, especially moving from another state, you know, to a new town, new people. You don't know anyone except family. And that's another way we could do this. The Santiagos are going to be here in a couple weeks. Those are our missionaries to China. And they're going to be spending, about 5-6 days, something like that, isn't it, Tim? They're going to be here for the e-groups on Friday and an e-group on Monday and visiting. But they have hospitality needs. And, you know, it's the two of them. And then there's son, Timmy, right? Timothy, yeah. Timothy, place to stay. That's a great opportunity to make their way a little bit lighter. We had a family spend the night with us over the wedding, and it was kind of interesting because we were visiting after the wedding. And I said, well, where are you staying? And he says, well, I don't know. Is this the best hotel you guys really have in town? It's called the Park Motel. And he says, my wife got on the internet and started searching this thing out. And, boy, the pictures look good on the internet. And the reviews weren't bad either. But he says, we got there and we started smelling around. And he says, it just, you know, it's kind of an interesting place. So we invite him over to our house. Go, why don't you come stay with us? Well, we won't get a refund. Who cares? You don't need a refund. Just come and stay with us. And so, you know, it was an opportunity to make his way and his son's way a little bit lighter. So the Santiagos. The Serenity Pregnancy Resource Center is in the process of remodeling a new building. We're thankful for God providing that for that ministry. There's opportunities for you to help in that process. If you contacted me or one of the other board members, I'm sure we could line you up on how you could be an aid in that process. If nothing else, you could help financially by shouldering and working together to bear the burden of finances. And make sure you take one of those baby bottles and fill it up either with a check or with some change or dollar bills and turning in next Sunday, which is Father's Day. Those are some of the ones I highlighted. There's a lot of prayer requests. Those are the ones that seem to have some practical, tangible outworkings as far as ways that we could bear one another's burdens. Has anyone come here tonight with a burden that's heavy on your shoulders as you walk through the doors and maybe hunched over on the inside, just overwhelmed with life, some of the weights and consequences of life, that we could either at least pray for you, but maybe try and meet one another's needs that way? We've got this one, right? We're okay. Well, good. If you do, share that with somebody. Share with one of the deacons, one of the elders. Because we'd like as a church to bear your burden as well. Let's pray and ask God to help us to grow in this area, that we might be a loving church that expresses our love this way. Father, we close by asking you, Lord, to stir our hearts once again, as we saw this morning, to will and to do your good pleasure. Lord, give us the will to come alongside and be a heavy lifter for our brother and sister in Christ. Help us to be sensitive to see the needs of those around us. Oh, Father, when prayer requests are shared at E-Group, help us see beyond the prayer itself, but even in how we might be part of the answer to that prayer. Lord, may we put on our own shoulders, put in our own hands, the burdens and the weights of those around us. And may that be an expression of our love, not only to you, but to one another. In Christ's name, amen.